Just before you start listening to this podcast, a reminder that we have a special subscription offer. You can get 12 issues of The Spectator for £12, as well as a £20 Amazon voucher. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher if you'd like to get this offer.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, The Spectator's daily, and these days more than daily, politics podcast. I'm Katie Balls and I'm joined by James Forsyth, and we have just had the first campaign speech from Boris Johnson since his campaign launch, moving to a new subset. Boris Johnson was speaking from Coventry, where he talked about the opportunity gap between rich and poor and how his government would close it if he was elected with a majority. James, what were the main takeaways?
It was the classic Tory campaign message. It was, vote for us, we'll get Brexit done, and then we can move on to the country's priorities and unleash, in the Tories' campaign slogan, Britain's potential. So lots of, you know, once we've done Brexit, you can have electric cars everywhere and all this stuff. It was a very Boris Johnson speech in that it wasn't a kind of classic politician speech. It was a bit of performance art, a bit of a ramble. But as it always is with Boris Johnson, beneath the seemingly shambolic exterior, it was all the Tories' messages hit repeatedly, what they're trying to do at the moment is set this election up as a choice between a Tory majority government and a hung parliament.
When it comes to that speech, James, some people who were watching it felt like there was a word that was missing, a word that was perhaps briefed out in certain papers today. Could you give us some more details?
I thought you might ask me that. There was, in the overnight brief, he talked about kind of political onanism of more referendums. A way of saying that it would be self-gratification.
Okay, that's one way of putting it.
Rather than in contrast to getting Brexit done. I think this is one of the oldest tricks in the book, that you put out some words overnight which generate headlines. They're, to put it mildly, quite crude. So you don't actually say them themselves. So the words don't come out of your mouth. So you don't lose people who think that all of these slogans are this kind of use of language is a bit regrettable. It doesn't pass the test of how would you explain it to someone interested in politics but below the age of maturity. And it was a very old trick.
Okay. And for listeners who want to know more about that, perhaps they can Google it. Anyway, moving on. Ultimately, James, did you feel like there was much new policy in what Boris Johnson was saying today? Because one of the things I've had brought up a few times this week is actually the Conservatives are currently very light in terms of policy offers they're putting forward. So we had a few things last week, but Labour are coming out with, I guess, most days. And we're not really getting that from the Tories.
No, I don't think there was a kind of detailed policy. I mean, it was all very, if we do this, we can have a green energy revolution. But there wasn't a huge amount of meat on that particular bone. I am struck by how similar this Tory campaign is to 2015. You know, there, it was kind of flashback time for those of us who covered that campaign, because again, it was, you know, Boris Johnson warning about a coalition of chaos if there wasn't a Tory majority government, how the SNP would be holding the strings and telling Labour what to do. It is very 2015, but the big difference is in 2015, the Tory target was all of those Lib Dem seats in the South West. This time it's those Labour seats in the West Midlands. As you said, you know, he launched his campaign in the West Midlands. He's back there again for this major speech. And my understanding is that the manifesto launch is also likely to be in the West Midlands. You know, this is where the Tories think they can make, you know, I think they're obviously going to lose some seats if this doesn't quite work, but they think they can make more than 9 gains in the West Midlands.
Do you have any sense when that manifesto launch might be? Because there are rumours that the Tories might want to push it back for as long as really is viable. Ultimately, this idea that manifestos can be a bit risky.
Yeah, and also I think there's another factor going on here. The Tories are determined to hold back as much material as possible for the last couple of weeks of a campaign. That is when they think voters tune in and start paying attention. And I think they are most worried about having a strong finish. I mean, that's one of the reasons why they had this very delayed start. You know, there was basically essentially a week after Parliament voted before their formal campaign launch, when the Tories did very little.
Now, away from the Boris Johnson speech, we've had Nigel Farage out on the campaign trail today, and he didn't rule out the idea of voting Conservative in the general election. When he was asked directly if he would vote Conservative, he said, "I want to see the manifesto." What's going on here?
Well, I think he has now tweeted that he certainly won't be voting Tory after how they've treated him this week. He is, I think, in high dudgeon because he has been left in this kind of position of being the person who is keep having to make concessions. I think he would really love a free run at a bunch of seats up, a bunch of leave voting Labour seats. You know, and as I understand it, he's asked for a free run at about 10 of those, but the Tories won't give it to him. So he's now in a position where he's got his donors pressuring him to back down. He's already backed down in all the Tory held seats in the country, but he has not got anything in return from the Tories.
You mentioned 2015, James, and the fact that we are hearing again similar things to Coalition of Chaos and what's happening in terms of Scottish independence, potentially IndyRef too. In terms of Labour's positioning, today we've seen several moves. Jeremy Corbyn has been in Scotland, as well as being heckled. There's been a row over where his party actually stands on independence. Can you help to clarify this?
So rather confusingly, Jeremy Corbyn seems to suggest that there would be no second independence referendum in the first term of a Labour government. Then his aides kind of walked that back and said there'd be no second independence referendum unless the SNP and the other pro-independence parties won an outright majority at Holyrood in the Scottish Parliament elections in 2021. So, e.g., no second independence referendum in the first year of a Labour government, which I think had been the kind of previous Labour position. I think Labour's problem on this is, you know, weirdly enough, in Scotland, Labour is the party that wants to talk about independence referendums the least. The Tories want to talk about it because they hope to get, you know, unionist tactical voting going to save many of their seats. The SNP want to talk about it because it's their raison d'etre. But because Labour's position on this second independence referendum kind of keeps shifting around and they keep being lured into responding to whatever Nicola Sturgeon has said on the subject, it keeps coming up. And I think that is a problem for Jeremy Corbyn. Not just in Scotland, but also because, I mean, one of the things we learned from the 2015 election is English voters really don't like the idea of the Scottish nationalists holding the balance of power in a hung parliament. And all of these discussions about IndyRef 2 reminds people of that fact. And so I think 2015 suggests that sometimes English voters think about it more in terms of, you know, money and resources going to Scotland rather than a second independence referendum. But it is a reminder of that power that the Scottish nationalists would have in a hung parliament.
Now, finally, on this morning's podcast, we heard how Boris Johnson's video clip of him walking around CCHQ was playing into the message they're trying to put out, and also his difficulties ordering curry. There is another video of Boris Johnson which is getting shared quite widely on social media today, and that is Boris Johnson meeting flooding victims, so those affected by the floods. Boris Johnson has been heavily criticised for not responding quick enough, something he should have declared an emergency. But there's also, I suppose, a view that some of the politicians going there are doing it more for political purposes, perhaps, than because they really want to be helpful. James, do you think it is a negative situation for Boris Johnson to be flooded people ultimately suggesting he hasn't done enough? Or do you think it ultimately suggests that he is taking it seriously?
I think there are two problems. Several of the questions in the press conference were about flooding. Obviously, there'll be, you know, we were talking this morning about, you know, how Tory central office like the idea that, you know, if you turn the sound off when you watch Boris Johnson on these campaigning clips, they look good for him. You know, people seem happy to meet him. That didn't look to be the case today. I think he is running into a problem, which is twofold. One is there are real risks in a winter election for any governing party because you are more likely to have weather events like this, and it is very hard for the government to respond with sufficient vigour for those concerned. I think there's another problem here, which is, you know, a lot of Boris Johnson's appeal in these Labour marginal seats that the Tories are trying to pick up is that you know, he is not proposing another 5 years of austerity. the reaction to these floods is a reminder of the cuts to local authority budgets over the past 9 years, how local government has less money than it used to. And I think that is difficult for the Tories. I also think Labour have been very clever at playing up this idea that, you know, the government has been slower to respond. You know, there's a lot of Labour attack lines about how if this had happened in Surrey, the Tories would have responded quicker, but because it was in the north, in Yorkshire, they didn't.
Thank you, James, and thank you for listening. Do join us again tomorrow.